Today's shir's Leila Nishmas of Yehuda Leibner of Shmuel. Today's shir's Masechta Megillah, Daf Ches. We will begin on Daf Ches Samen Aleph at the top of Amid Denu Mishnah. The Mishnah continues with discussing situations of Ein Bein when we have two situations that are seemingly similar but are really not. Says the Mishnah, Ein Bein, Muda Noma Chaveroi, that somebody made a nether that he won't benefit from someone else. You can make a benefit, you can make a nether, you can make a vow that you won't benefit from someone else, or that that person should not benefit from you. Where the person says that I won't have any benefit from him regarding food situation, the only nafkamina between these two types of nedarim is drisus haregel. If you made a nether that you can't have hanah from that person, you can't even walk into his house. But if you made a nether that I can't have any food benefit from that individual, you may enter his house. However, the Bach points out that even if you made a nether that you're not going to benefit from this individual, but by walking through his house, you don't gain anything, then the halacha, according to Bach, is that that would be permissible. Because you did not gain anything from that individual, you didn't have any benefit, and it would be mutter. The Shach disagrees. And the Shach says that any type of benefit, even though it's not really of any significance, is considered usur if you made another that I'm not going to benefit from this person. Ella, drisus haregel, v'kelim she'noisim b'yichal nefesh. Let's say I use this person's clothing or books. If I'm not allowed to benefit from this person, I may not do so. But if I made a nether that I'm not going to have any food-related benefit, this is not considered a food-related benefit because it's a book, it's a garment. However, in a situation where people rent out books, or people rent out garments, so even if your nether was only on Oichel Nefesh, it still would be Usur. And the reason it's Usur is because you are benefiting because the value could have been used to buy food. And therefore, even in such a case, it would already be considered a food-related benefit. HaKelim, says the Gemara, what about Kelim that are used for Oichel Nefesh? Zev is a Shavin. Both types, no matter how you word the nether, it would be usur. We said further that if you made a nether of oichel, or you made a nether of in general, then the difference would be drisus haregel. But as the Gemara, how like kapti inchi, people don't care what if I walk through their property. And if, since people don't care, why would it be usur even though I made such a nether? That's the posh pshat in the Gemara. The Rashbam explains that since people don't care, it should be considered like it's hefker. It should be considered like it's ownerless. And the halacha is that hefker doesn't belong to anybody. So it's not considered like I'm having a gnaw from this person. Another pshat that I saw, this is a very important pshat when we speak about Nedarim. When we speak about Nedarim, the way to understand the Dorim is, if it's a very important element in understanding the Dorim, is what did the person intend when he made the nether? And the Gemara's question here is that if the benefit I'm having is something that is insignificant to people, then that's not what I had in mind when I made the nether. And since it's not what I had in mind when I made the nether, it shouldn't be usur. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava. Who is our Mishnah following? Mani, who is the Tan of our Mishnah? The Tan of Mishnah is Rebbe Lezer. Dama vitu osam mudanah. That even something which is insignificant, and people usually forgive the small in the insignificant amount, still it's considered that it has a value. And since the Chum hold that it has a value, and I made a nether that I'm not allowed to have any benefit from you, even though it's an insignificant benefit, it's still considered a value, even though it's of very insignificant value. Says the Mishnah, if somebody donates a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, so there are two ways he could express that obligation. It could be with a neder, or it could be with a nedava. A neder is somebody says, Harei alai oila. He makes it into a personal obligation. And a dava is where he says, Harei zu oila, where he points to an animal and he's going to say, this animal should be a carbon. Says the Mishnah, Ein bein nedarim l'davis. There is no nafkamina between the darim l'davis. El shenedarim chayiv b'achriyuson. If somebody said, Harei alai oila, so he took upon himself personal liability. By saying that he took upon himself personal liability, even if afterwards he designates an animal to be the carbon, even though he designated an animal to be the carbon, the personal liability means that if something were to happen to that animal, he has to replace that animal with a different animal. Whereas the Dovis, when he said that this animal will be a carbon, once he said that this animal will be a carbon, so his obligation is this animal. And if then for something happens that he can't bring that animal, that he's not, something happens to the animal, he doesn't have to bring a replacement. The Tosfos asks, the Mishnah could have said another nafkamina. The dover could be brought from Maisa. Neder cannot be brought from only from Chulin. The Gemara often in Shas says, Kol davar shebechayva, anything that I'm obligated to do, ain't a ba'al min ha'chulin. It has to come from only from money that's not hegdish. So the question that Tosfos asks is, why doesn't the Gemara mention this nafkamina? And Tosfos suggests that our Mishnah is talking about animals. When we're speaking about specific animals, the nafkamina of where you gave it from doesn't make a difference because you already have the animal. Another teretz that I suggest is Tana v'Shayir, that the Tana of our Mishnah did not mention all of the differences that there are, but indeed, this is one of the differences. Another teretz that the Rishonim suggest that this distinction that I just mentioned only speaks to animals, but not by birds. And our Mishnah is speaking about birds as well. Halinya Baltacher, the Torah teaches us that when somebody donates a carbon, he has to bring it within a certain time frame, as we learned extensively in Masechta Rosh Hashanah. And of course, the halacha is that l'chatchila, one should bring it by the first Yom Tov, by the first of the Shalosh Regalim that he encounters after he took upon himself that obligation. However, as we learned in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, according to the halacha, unless three regalim passed, not only three regalim, but three regalim in a specific order, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkos, you're not over Baal Ta'achar. So our Mishnah is teaching us that as far as Hilchas Baal Ta'achar is concerned, the halacha is that the Dharma and the Davos are the same. Ask the Gemara, Tanar Hasam, the Mishnah in Masech Tekitin teaches us, Eiz a nether, what's the definition of a nether? As we learned, Haimai Rei Lai Oila, somebody takes upon himself a personal obligation to bring a carbon oila. Eiz a nedava, what's the definition of a nedava? Haimai Rei Zu Oila, he identifies an animal. Omabe in the Dharma Davos, what is the difference between the two of them? The Dorim, Mesu and Nignivu Avdu, Chai Berchiyosim. But the Dorim, if something happens, you're responsible. The Dovis, Nignivu and Avdu, and Chai Berchiyosim. If something happens, then you're not obligated to respond. Benani Mili, ask the Gemara, where do we take this distinction from? Says the Gemara, the Tana Rabbanan. The Pasuk says, the Braisa teaches us, the Torah, when it speaks about an oilless Nedava, says the Samach, Yadai Aroish Olav, Venirzalai Chap Olav. Shimon Aymer Esh Olav. Something that became a personal obligation that Chai Bechusai, you become personally responsible for. Veshaina Olav. But if you do not take this obligation as a personal responsibility, Ena Chai Bechusai, and you're not responsible. My Mashma says the Gemara, how do we see that Olav means a personal obligation. Answers the Gemara. Amar Rav Yitzchak by Avdimi, Kivin the Omar. Once you said the word a lie, command the Tana Kasvei Dami. What that means is you took it upon your shoulders and it becomes a yoke. It becomes an obligation that you have no way of shaking that obligation until you're finished. And in fact, I saw that the Sefer Likutei Yehuda says, we say every day, V'hoi lois ayotcha ulo toitafes b'nei necha. Toitafes, the Gemara Masech the Sanhedrin, Daftal Ramabei says, Tat b'kasvei shayim. Tat b'kasvei. The toitafes should be b'kasvei. The toitafes should be on your shoulders. The tefillin and what the tefillin teach us should become an obligation to every Jew, just like we learned that this is an obligation. As we begin the next Mishnah, a word of introduction is in order. A person could have an emission of ziva from his body. Somebody who has two emissions is a zov, if he had it in 2 days. And if he had three emissions in 2 or 3 days, he becomes a zov, he also becomes a zov. But there's one difference, says the Mishnah. Ein mein zov haroi shtei riyos. If he sees two consecutive riyos, haroi shalosh, to somebody who sees three consecutive riyos, el carbon. The halacha of carbon is that a zov that only had two emissions doesn't have to bring carbon. As soon as he finishes the zayin, the kiyum, 7 days that he's clean, he's completely tar. Whereas a zov of shalosh riyos cannot enter the Beis HaMikdash until he brings a set of kabanas. He has to bring two birds, echo lechatos vecho loyla. One bird is for chatos and one bird is for oyla. Comments the Gemara, Hale'inya mishke v'moyshev. There's a very unique, serious tumah that the Torah introduces when we speak about azov. And that is anything that he sits on or lays on, provided that it's something meant to sit or lay on, becomes tamei. Not only does it become tamei, it becomes a very high level tumah. It becomes an avatumah. And not only does it have the halacha that it becomes an avatumah, but let's say somebody's laying, there's a stack of mattresses, 10 mattresses, and somebody's laying on the top mattresses, all 10 mattresses will become an avatumah. It says the Gemara that our Mishnah seems to be teaching us that this halacha of Tumas Mishkev Moshev and the halacha that after somebody becomes a Zav with two Riyas or three Riyas, they only lose that status with Zayin Akim, Sphira Shiva, Zev Zeshavim. And those halachas, they're exactly the same, no matter if you just saw two Riyas or three Riyas. Ask the Gemara, Menonim Mili, from where do we know this halacha? Says the Gemara, the Tana Rabbanan, Reb Simai Omer. The Torah speaks about a person having two emissions for Kare Tomei, and he's called Tomei. The Pasuk says, Ish Ish Ki Yeh Zoiv Mepsaroi, Zoive Tomehu. The Torah speaks about Zoiv twice in this Pasuk. And there's a Pasuk that speaks about Sholosh, somebody having three emissions for Kare Tomei, and he's called Tomei. So how do we understand these two Psukim? Is it two emissions or three emissions? Haketzad, shtayim l'toma. As soon as he has two emissions, he becomes a zov, sholish, but only after three emissions is he obligated to bring a carbon. Ve'aymer asked the Gemara, shtayim l'toma of loyal carbon. Asked the Gemara maybe just the opposite, that after two riyas, you tamei, and you don't have to bring carbon, sholish l'carbon, and for three riyas, you have an obligation to be carbon, to bring a carbon, but you're not tamei. Ask the Gemara, that doesn't make any sense. Amrit, Achloi Sholosh, Rosh Sholosh, Rosh Tayin. You can't have three emissions without having two emissions first. So once you add the two emissions, you are Tomei. So you can't, and you don't lose that Toma. It must be like we just said. Ask the Gemara. The Gemara persists. Amr, Shtayim, the carbon of Loit Lutoma. After two emissions, you have to bring a carbon, but you're not Tomei. The Sholosh, not only do you have to bring a carbon, but you also become Tomei. Answers the Gemara le'sakadatach. It doesn't seem to make sense that you chayev a carbon after two emissions, even though you're not tamei. Le'sakadatach. The Tanya, the Brisa says, v'chibol of a kohen l'fnei Hashem mizoyvoy. Mixes zov and mevim carbon. Some zov have to bring a carbon, or mixes zov and mevim carbon, and some don't have to bring a carbon. Haketzat raw shalish. When you had three emissions, maybe you must bring a carbon. Shtayim. And maybe with two emissions you don't. Ask the Gemara, oh yeah, maybe we should say, Eloi Rosh Tayim maybe, for two emissions you have to bring a carbon. Shalit Rosh Shalish, but for three emissions, any maybe you don't have to bring a carbon. Answers the Gemara, that can't be. Because Amrit, Achloi Rosh Shalish, you can't have three emissions if you first did not have Rosh Tayim, if you first did not have two emissions. So we had two limudim, had to establish the halachas that we just learned. That a zav after two riyas is tamei, and after three riyas, he has to bring a carbon. So ask the Gemara, why do we have to have two limudim with the same, for the same purpose? Vitzrich, Reb Samoy, the first limud that we had, mana kasu shtayim, v'kare tamei, mana kasu shalish, vitzrich, the limud amazoyvay. Why do we have to have both limudim, explains the Gemara. Dimad Rav Samoy, if we only had Rav Samoy's limud, have a mere concussion, that we would perhaps say that a zov of two riyas is regarding tumah, not carbon. Kamash malon, zoiva. That the difference between them is regarding carbon, not regarding tumah. The im is zoiva, lo yadana kamariyas. We wouldn't know what is the exact count that makes a person tumah. Kamash malon, Rav Samoy. Ask the Gemara, Vashta Darmit, now that we have established Bizoiv Ledrosha, that to tell us that some Zovim, the one that have three Riyas, have to bring a carbon, there's another Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'chiyita Azom Bizoivai, V'sofloi Shivis Yomim, L'tar Rosoi, Mai Darshbei. What do we learn from that Pasuk? Answers the Gemara, Hamid Be'elech Ratanya, that's needed to teach us a different halakha. The Pasuk teaches, V'chiyita Azov, after he finishes the Zayin Akiyim, that's when he goes to the mikveh. Only L'chashivsuk Mezoivai. That's when he starts the Zayin. When he stops, he does the Zayin Akiyim, 7 clean days, and then he goes to the mikveh. But he need not go to the mikveh before he commences the Zayin Akiyim. The next Mezoivai, let's say you'll have an individual who's a Zov and a Metzoira, and he finished his Ziva, but he's still a Metzoira. The halacha is that he could count the Zayin Nekiyim, he can begin counting the Zayin Nekiyim for a Zoivai. But here we have a very big Machloitus, Rashi and other Rishonim. Rashi says he finishes the Zayin Nekiyim and he goes to the mikvah. And he goes to the mikveh only after he finishes being a mitzvah. Others say he doesn't have to wait. As soon as he finishes the Zayin Nekiyim, even though he's still, unfortunately, a mitzvah, he could still go to the mikveh for his ziva. That somebody who only had two emissions, Ton's sphere shiva, he still, even though he doesn't have to bring a carbon, he does need to have Zayin Nekiyim. Ask the Gemara, Veloy Dinu. Ask the Gemara, why do I need a pasuk to teach us that a Zov that had two Riyas has to count Zayin Nekiyim? Why can't I make the following Kavachomer? Im, B'tamei Mishkav Moshev, is, as we said earlier, he's a very high level Tomei. Why is a very high level Tumah? He makes Tumah Mishkav and Moisev, Lo Yitan, Sfir Shiva. Shouldn't that clearly be an indication that he needs to have Zayin Nekiyim? Says the Gemara, Shemer Shoyim Kenegi Yoyim Techiyach. I'll tell you why it's not a proof. Let's say a woman had a one-day emission, only one day. The loch is, such a woman is Metama Mishkav and Moisev, but she only has to wait to be tahor for one day. That's what's known as a Shemeres Yoyim Kenegi Yoyim. Shemeres Yoyim Kenegi Yoyim Techiyach. Shemetama Mishkav Moshev. Even though it has this high level Tumah, ain't a tuna, Sfira Shiva. af at al tamal. Therefore, you can make an argument azov that azov that saw two emissions. Shaf mish matama mishka v'moishiv. Even though he's matama mishka v'moishiv, maybe lo yitan tzvir shiva. You shouldn't have to have shiva in the kiyim. Tamalayma b'mix zovay v'safar. Mix a zovay v'safar. Somebody that just saw a partial ziva, he only saw two rears. Limud abzorbash de rears, shaton sphere shiva. Ask the Gemara. Amalei Rapapa Labaya. Maishnam is zoiva. The first zoiva were coming to teach us the Marbibay zorbash de rears. That even if he only had two emissions, he has to wait Zayin Akiyim. Ask the Gemara, Maishna, hi, Mizoivoi, why by the Zoivoi that says by carbon was saying the Mat by Zoibash Tereus? In other words, the Gemara's question is the Torah uses the same exact word, Mizoivoi. And in one place, the Mizoivoi comes to teach us a Chumro, that even if he only had two Rias, he has to wait Zion the Kiyim. And the other place it's coming to teach us a Kula, that if he only had two Rias, he doesn't have to wait Zion the Kiyim. Amoy Isak Datach. If you're going to say the high lemuti dasi that the Torah is telling us that somebody who had two emissions doesn't have to count zayin akiyim lishtem kramine, then why does the Torah speak about it at all? Now it would be automatically the same as a shmer shoyim keneged yoyim. The fact that the Torah mentioned it as a new category, it must be to teach us this then. V'chitei ma'asi bedina. Maybe we'll say we can learn from a kal v'chomer that if it's metama mishka v'moishiv, it should also require zayin nekiyim. Says the Gemara, as we just learned, that can't be because shemer shoyim keneged yoyim techiach. V'chi teima daimi boilei mezoivoi meloiv v'negoi to teach us that you could begin counting the zayin nekiyim even though you're still a mitzayra. And says the Gemara, im kein licht of kra, then the Torah shouldn't have said it. The Torah should have just said v'chi yita azov, that any zov who finishes should ziva could count zayin akiyim. Why did the Torah teach us the word mizayvay? Mizayvay lamali limud azabash deiriyas shatan shiva. That even though he only had two riyas, he has to have zayin akiyim. The Torah speaks about a mitzayra. If a person has one of the signs that he's a mitzayra, and the kohen examines him, and sometimes the kohen examines him and determines immediately that he's a full-fledged Mitzayra. Such a person is called a Mitzayra Mukhlet. Sometimes the Kohen cannot make a full-fledged determination. And such a Mitzayra is called a Mitzayra Muzgar. He's quarantined. During the days of whether you're a Mitzayra Muzgar or Mitzayra Mukhlet, you are quarantined. And then after that quarantine of 7 days, you're examined again, and you're determined if you're Tamei or Tar. A Mitzayra is a very high-level Tuma. A Mitzayra is an Avatuma. A Mitzayra has the ability to be Matama other people. A Mitzayra has the ability to be Mekadma garments. Mitzayra, if somebody comes into the same house as the Mitzayra, he becomes Tamei to the degree of a Rishon Tuma. Moreover, the Mitzayra has to be sent out of the three Machnas, Kuhuna, Levi, Yisrael, but that's only the cities that have a wall. This does not apply to cities that don't have a wall. The Mitzayra, when he becomes Tar, so Mitzayra Mukhlet, when he becomes Tamei, he has to bring two birds, Eitz Eres, cedar wood, Shni Talas, a red string, vezov, and grass. The Kohen tells him to shecht one of the birds, dip the other live bird and these other materials into the blood of the slaughtered bird, and you spritz it on the Mitzayra, and then you send away the live bird. Then the Mitzayra shaves all on the hair of his body. He goes to the mikvah, he washes his clothing, and now he can come back into the machna. After 7 days, again, he has to shave all of his hair, again go to the mikvah, again wash his clothing, and he's tahar. But he still has to bring kabonis, a carbon chatas, a carbon asham, and a carbon oila, which cannot be brought until the eighth day, and only after that may he enter the Beis HaMikdash or eat kachin. Says the Mishnah, Ein bei mitzayir muzgar le mitzayir muchlet. There's no difference between these two individuals. Ella priu prima. A mitzayir muchlet has to cut all his hair and rip his clothing. The muzgar is not obligated to do so. Prima, Rashi says, that he has to tear his clothing. The question is, where does he have to tear his clothing? On the hem or on the bottom? Ein bein tar mitar chesger, a mitzoyer muzger, the never elevated to the status of being a mitzoyer muchlet, lebein tar mitar chachlet, versus a mitzoyer who's a mitzoyer muchlet, elataglach tzabayrim, the entire procedure that we just described, when the mitzayra becomes tar, applies by a mitzayra muchlet, not by a mitzayra muzgar. Halini shluach, being sent out of a walled city, tuma, and as far as being a high-level tuma, zevezeh shavim. The mitzayra muzgar and mitzayra muchlet, comments to Gemara, are identical. Ask the Gemara Benoni Mili, where do we know this halacha from? Says the Gemara, the Tani, Rashmu by Yitzchak, Kameid Ravuna, the Torah says, regarding a mitzayir muzgar, the tiara akoyin maspachasi the chibus begadav the tar. Since the Torah says the tar, it doesn't say the yitar that he will become tamei. We see that he's an individual that's tar mipriyum mipriyadim ikara, that even before he goes to the mikvah, he never had to have priyu prima because he was not this high level mitzayir. Amalei Rava asks Rava Elamata Gabazov, when we speak about the Zov, when he finishes being Tameh, how do we understand the word Vitar that the Torah uses there? That we just defined that the word Tar means that he was always Tahar, says the Gemara. Ella Tar Hashda, he becomes Tar, Miltamikli Cheres Behesed. There's a very serious tuma that a Zov has. That if a Zov causes any Kli Cheres to move, that Kli Cheres becomes Tomei. For example, if you have a scale and the Zov causes, and there's an earthen Keli on one side of the scale, and the Zov causes that should go up, the other side, the Keli becomes Tomei. And now, if he becomes Tar, he's no longer a Zov, that halacha doesn't apply. If he becomes a Zov again, anything he touched while he wasn't a Zov will not be Tameh. Hachinami, so why don't we say the same thing about a Mitzayra? Tar hashtam l'tabah b'yom Freya. That if the Kohen said that the Mitzayra Muzgur is Tar, and he went to the mikvah, and then he went into a house, and there's food in the house, there's Kalim in the house, there are people in the house, and then he becomes a Mitzayra again, whatever was in the house is not Tameh. So we're back to where we started. How do we know that a Mitzayra Muzgar is exempt from Priyu Frima? Says the Gemara Mehacha. The Pasuk says, V'tzeroa ashaboy anega begodav yipurumim v'roishi yipurua. Tzeras ataluy begufay. Somebody who, the tzeras is part of his body. Once you're a Mitzayra Muchlet, you're a full-fledged Mitzayra. That's who you are. A Mitzayra Muzgar, it's not your body that's making a Mitzayra. Ela Yomim, the Kohen, with the days that have to pass, are making you Tomei. Amale Bay Al Mata, the Torah says, Kol Yimei Asher Negev Bo Yitma, Tomei Hu Badad Yesh Mechutz L'Machta M'Shavai. So we should say, shouldn't we learn that Misha Tatsarata Teluy Begufoy, who the Ton Shuluach, only the Mitzayra who is inherently Tomei is sent out of the Sholosh Machnas. But if you're Mitzayra Muzgar, she'ain't Tzerata Teluya Begufoy, ain't Ton Shluvach. V'chitei Machinami. And if you indeed will suggest that a Mitzayra Muzgar doesn't have to be sent out of the Sholosh Machnas, V'oktani, ain't me Mitzayra Muzgar, Mitzayra Muchlet, ela Priya Frima. That's, the Mishnah said, is the only difference. However, Linyin Shluach, being sent out of the Sholosh Machnas, the Tamuy Babia, that anything in the same house, Zevezeh Shavin. So what is That can't be. Amalei, you may, since the Torah says the word you may. The Torah could have said the word you may, but the Torah uses the word call you may. What do we learn from that? The rabbis, Mitzayra L'Mushgar. That the Mitzayra Musgar is also sent out of the three Machlas. Ask the Gemara, Yachat Taglach Tzaparim. Why don't we say, as far as the Taglach Tzaparim, that you should have the same din? That even the Mitzayra Musgar should have to do Taglach Tzaparim. My Tamaloi, the Tani, the Mishnah says, Ein Bein Tami Tam Mezgar, the Tami Tam Hechlet, El Taglach Tzaparim. So why isn't that mentioned? I'm a craw, Vyotza Kod Amachutz L'machna, V'ra Koyin, such a person has to have all of these things. He doesn't have to have all of these procedures. The Mishnah continues in discussing when we speak about Tanakh. The tefillin mezuzos. What's the difference? Al shen sfarim nechtavim b'chol lashon. Sfarim can be written in any language. The tefillin mezuzos and nechtavim el ashuris. They could only be written in ashuris. And there are many pshatim and rishonim. What does it mean? The Ramban says regarding the mitzvah of kriyas haTorah that even to fulfill the mitzvah of kriyas haTorah you could do it in any language. The Ran says it's referring to the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah, that you could write a sefer Torah in any language. The Tori Evan disagrees. He says, certainly, you cannot mekayim the mitzvah of writing a sefer Torah only in Ashuras. It's regarding, are you allowed to learn in a sefer that's written in a different language? And the Gemara's the Mishnah's teaching us that when it comes to Limud HaTorah, you can learn it in a sefer written in any language, but not regarding the mitzvah of sefer Torah. The Chasam Sofer says it's referring to the din of Dvarim Shebiksav Yet Rishayim Lam Rapeh. Torah Shebapeh may not be learned orally, and Dvarim Shebapeh and Torah Shebapeh Yet Rishayim Lam Rapeh may not be learned from written until Rebbe changed it. So Rebbe, the Tanakhama holds that everything as Sefer Torah is concerned is considered Tavarim Shebiksav, and Torah Shebiksav has to be learned from inside the text, no matter what language the text is. What is Ashuris? Ashuris is Lashon Kodesh, written in the way we know Sifrei Torah are written. This was the way we received the Torah, the way we were taught to write the Torah. And the reason it's called Ksav Ashuris is Musheris. It's the most beautiful writing. And therefore, you have to write it in this language. Says the Sifrei Chachamim. Again, that's only when you're writing a Sefer Torah. It's only when you're writing a Sefer Torah that you want to be Yoitz the Mitzvah Sefer Torah. However, if you want to write the Vrei Torah, just because you want to learn the Vrei Torah, of course, there is no obligation to write them in Ashuris. Moreover, says the Moreh Mesada, if you write tefillin and mezuzos in any type of writing besides Ashuris, it's meaningless. It doesn't have any Kedusha. The reason tefillin and mezuzos are more chomer, are more strict than Sifrei Torah, because it says regarding tefillin mezuzos, v'hoyu hadvarim eila. The Torah is very specific that this is the way that they have to be written. The truth is, there are other nafkaminas between tefillin mezuzos and Sifrei Torah. The Mishnah is only focusing on what is constitutes a sefer. Rishim Gamaliel Aymar, Apis Svarim Leitiru, Shiyichtavu El Beivanis. His opinion is that even Svarim could only be written in Greek. That's the only language other than Lashon HaKodesh that he is lenient about. Hala Taifram Begidin, regarding the halacha, that when you have different sheets, you have to sew them together with the Gidin of a kosher animal. Thomas Yedayim, we discussed the halacha that Chazal made a rule that all Svarim, Sefer Torah, are Tamei, because people used to make a mistake. They used to say that Truma is Kodesh and the Sefer Torah is Kodesh. So I should put them next to each other. And the mice used to come eat from the Truma and they would ruin the Svarim. So they said that they become Tamei. And because of that, Chazal said, Mar Masechta Shabbos, Daf Yud Daled, that all Svarim are Tamei. Says the Gemara regarding this halacha, Sevezeh, Svarim, Tefillin, and Mezuzos are all Shavim. They all have the exact same halacha, and they all have to have these two rules.